Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast is being brought to you in association with Manscaped.com. To get all your latest Manscaped products, head to their website, manscaped.com, and use our code FIGHT20. It is, of course, the festive season. Our very own St. Nick swears by these products. You're going to be eating turkey this Christmas. You're going to be getting stuck into your spuds. There's going to be pigs in blankets all over your plate. And you want your nether regions to be resembling your Christmas dinner. Shave off all the fuzz and look like a turkey in the shop window this Christmas. Fight 20 is the code. Fight 20 on manscaped.com. What are you laughing at?
Jingle bells.
This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast number 444. We are the Fight Disciples, and this is dedicated to the world of mixed martial arts, mainly UFC, but we do touch upon the other franchises as well. If it's the first time you've ever come across us, you can get us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. FightDisciples.com is our website for all Android feeds. And our YouTube channel links are all there as well, as is our social media, fightdisciples.com. Go there, have some fun. We've also got a bit of a shop for you to get stuck into, where we are selling beer. That's right.
Yeah,
Proper Tackle is available for you for Christmas. Go and get yourself stuck in there. And it is cheaper than our affiliated beer that is out there at the moment by a certain UFC fighter. Naming no names, Darren Till. All right, there you go. But it's all there for you. You can go and get you can all get stuck in fightdisciples.com. Going to be speaking about Till, aren't we, during this show? Yeah, turns out that walking up Snowden isn't good for an ACL or whatever he had in his knee. He's out of the fight with Jack Hermanson on December 5th. What a wonderful opportunity though for Kevin Holland, man. Fucking hell. What are you, this again? I know that we've just gone totally off piste here. We should be talking about the fights with Glover Teixeira, and we'll get to that in a minute, right? But just on this, Kevin Holland is the epitome of this, of fighters during this pandemic right now. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. That's been the mantra. Kevin Holland, pre-pandemic, was just ticking along in the UFC, man. Just ticking along. Nobody knew too much about him. The dude's had four fights since May. Four fights since May. Rocking up, stopping dudes, beating dudes, having a great fight with our boy, Darren Stewart. Mate, and now he gets an opportunity to fight one of the top five middleweights on the planet. Imagine if he pulls this off. Imagine if he pulls this off. Where does that then land him in the middleweight division? Fucking hell. I'm actually super excited for it. I'm obviously disappointed that Darren Till's not fighting Jack Hermanson. Of course I am. But for someone like Kevin Holland to be rewarded for the year that he's had, the willing that he's showed, the fights that and performances that he's put in during this pandemic, this for me is what the UFC is all about, man. That's what it's all about. Well done, Kevin Holland, and we wish you all the best.
Yeah, of course, I'm devastated for Till. You know, I know how much he wanted to get back on that horse and get back in the mix, and you know, moving into 2021 with the champions, potentially moving weight divisions and everything else. You know, the middleweight division needs one or two standout contenders to really fucking drag Adesanya back into the fold, because once the champion starts moving weight divisions and jumping about, instead of just getting two, maybe three opportunities to fight for a world title a year, it goes down to one, two at the most, because the guys jump into different weight divisions. So everybody suffers in that weight class. So Till's not daft, man. He knows he needs to get that big W back and to be able to start beating the drum towards a title opportunity. One that we know from Adesanya, he does want to fight Till, because he realizes as well, Till's a fucking big draw. And they can make a shed load of money and it'll add to his own legacy. So in that regard, I'm gutted. And for the same argument, I bet you Jack Hermanson's gutted as well, because as tremendous as Holland has been this year, and you're right, opportunity knocks and stay fit and fucking hell, take note, Rocky Edwards et al, that you fucking take a fight when it's offered to you. He now gets the opportunity to jump right in. But Jack Hermanson, when he heard the news Till's pulled out, I bet you he was like, oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it was Jack Hermanson's huge opportunity to build his name on the back of a potential win over Darren Till. So it's not the ideal situation for anybody, but you're right, the guy that comes out of this with the big opportunity is Holland, and he deserves it, man. As you say, what's he fought? Four times this year already?
Yeah.
He'll have fought five times in a year of a pandemic.
Nobody's done it. Nobody's had.
Unbelievable.
If he wins, nobody in the history of the middleweight division has won five fights in the same calendar year. We've had guys go 4-1, but we've never had guys go 5-0 in the same calendar year in this weight category.
I didn't know that. It's a good stat, that.
There you go, man.
Good one.
I'm not just a pretty face.
There.
It's interesting that obviously we started there because we mentioned Israel Adesanya's name, and we can now shoehorn this all the way back to what we saw at the weekend, because Izzy's going to be part of this conversation when it comes to a light heavyweight title shot. The old boys were rolling it back at the weekend, weren't they, man, eh?
Orlovsky
and Glover doing the business in their 40s, not giving a shit about age. Father Time's not waiting for these lads. They're cracking on regardless. Glover to Shearer, shit the bed. Where have you been? Right? Just slowly creeping up on everybody. We've been sat here in the light heavyweights. Obviously, we've mainly been talking about Jones moving out of the division and having a go at heavy, right? And obviously, DC retiring. We get a new champion in with Jan Blachowicz. But we've been speaking about so many of the runners and riders and the contenders in this division. The Jiří Prochazkas and the Johnny Walkers and all these kids that are coming through. The Rakicis of this world. And we're getting super excited about it. Meanwhile, the old fella has just been ticking along, bubbling along, taking people's necks just as he's ticking. And now he lands himself in this situation where he's just beaten Thiago Santos. Santos went life and death on one leg with John Jones, right? And we're sat here going, it has to be Glover. I don't care that Izzy is the big draw, right? Well, I do care that he is the big draw because I love him to bits. But Glover Teixeira's story is almost as good as Israel Adesanya coming to the light heavyweight division. A 41-year-old fella rolling back the years and getting himself back into this situation to take on the Polish power is just as powerful a narrative for me for the UFC than it would be for the middleweight champion stepping up, man. I'm on the Glover train. Make the Glover fight. That's where I'm at.
I'm 100% on board the same way, man. It's got to be Glover. Glover's got to fight Jan Blachowicz next for the title. And listen, of course, I'm the biggest Adesanya fan because no one on the planet would have known who he was until I dropped his name. It's a fact that I tipped Adesanya and then Sean Shelby signed him a week later. That's nice. Just a fact.
That's what happens.
Just recording facts.
That's what happens.
But listen, there's Adesanya's the man in the middleweight division, and his legacy is being written right now, and it's so exciting. But let's play this out. Adesanya moves up to light heavyweight, defeats Blachowicz. Obviously, the 100% rhetoric is, John Jones, don't you dare go to heavyweight. You've got unfinished business. Come back to light heavyweight. See if you can win your belt back. Adesanya's the man. That plays out next year. Maybe by the end of the year, we get a decisive winner. Whether it's Jones or not, you know, I probably think it would be Jones just because of size, physical advantage. So now you've got Adesanya, who's losing his title and losing his unbeaten record against John Jones, who once again comes back, wins the title for the fucking fourth time or whatever it is. So now we're delaying John Jones' move to heavyweight to define his legacy. We're also pissing over a red-hot light heavyweight division, which finally is coming to life with John Jones departing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I want to see Teixeira fight Blachowicz. I want to see Santos get back in with Jan Blachowicz. I want to see Dominic Reyes get back in with Jan Blachowicz. I want to see Przyjotka get an opportunity and Rakic get an opportunity. I want to see, you know, fucking Johnny Walker and Serkanov and Ankalaev all jump on this opportunity as well. Right now, the light heavyweight division's absolutely buzzing. It's brilliant. Blachowicz isn't the guy. He is not the guy that's going to hold this belt like John Jones did for a decade. He might get a defense or two, and then he'll lose the belt, and then someone else will win it, and they might get a defense, and they'll lose the belt. I'm telling you now, if Glover Teixeira fights Blachowicz next, like is what should happen, Glover Teixeira becomes UFC champion. And then in the summer, Glover Teixeira defends against someone and loses, and then someone else is the champion. The light heavyweight division is mad as a box of frogs. It doesn't need Adesanya. It certainly doesn't need John Jones coming back. It's fucking brilliant as it is. These guys have been waiting for John Jones' shadow to leave. Don't drag it back. I think it's a massive backward step by the UFC. And I would love Dana now to come out and go, you know what? After Glover's performance there at the weekend, we can't deny him, man. If Adesanya goes up, beats Jan, Jones comes down, fights Adesanya, that's 2021 gone. For everybody else in the light heavyweight division, all these guys have just mentioned, 2021, you're going to have to write it off. You're not going to get an opportunity. Glover Teixeira's 41 years of age, yeah, man. He's enjoying a pure Indian summer right now, a 4 or 5 fight run, fucking 3 submissions or whatever it is. It's now or never. I wrote about it this week in my preview column. It's now or never for Jan Blachowicz. For fucking Glover Teixeira. He's got to get the next opportunity, man, or he'll get beat and he'll be done then. He's got to get the next shot at Jan. I hope the UFC backpedals. And that was another reason why I'm gutted Till Hermansson's off, because I think Till, if he'd have gone in and starched Hermansson and made a pull for Adesanya, the UFC might have gone, you know what? Fuck it, man. Let Jan fight Glover. That's a great fight. We can sell the fuck out of that. Let John Jones have a one fight at heavyweight. We can sell the fuck out of that. Let Till fight Adesanya. We can sell the fuck out of that. It's 3 amazing fights there.
Yeah.
At the moment, that's what's holding him back. The only standout guy at middleweight for Adesanya is Robert Whittaker.
Yeah.
And Robert Whittaker's in no rush for that fight. And the UFC's in no rush to make it because Adesanya won so decisively first time around. I get it. Adesanya's a star, man. Give him the opportunity. But don't give him the opportunity at the expense of a whole weight division and at the expense of John Jones moving to heavyweight.
Think you nailed it, man. Think you nailed it. That's where we're at. And hopefully the Fight Disciples are on board. Listen, start tweeting. Dana, tell him. It's Glover. It's got to be Glover, man. Make the Glover fight. What a story. 41. He's doing it for us, man. He's doing it for the old dudes. Come on. Yes.
Fucking right. Absolutely.
Here's a question for you, then, seeing as we're speaking about old dudes. Arlovski, did he win the fight against Boza?
Do you know what? I'm going to say yes because I don't want to have to go back and watch it again. Because it was rubbish. It was rubbish. It was crap. It was one of those heavyweight co-main events that they throw on in the hope that we're going to get a big finish. And you've got Tanner Mosley in there just following Arlovski round, and Arlovski just landing the odd pot shot. It was
he old-manned him, didn't he? He old-manned him.
Just old-manned him, man. That's what you do. You old-manned him. And Tanner Mosley will learn a lot from it. Mm. But the all-powerful, skinny version of Roy Nelson found out at the weekend that, you know, experience counts for everything in this game, man. And old man fucking Arlovski. I tell you what I will say. Tell you what I will say.
Go on.
Tom Aspinall would smoke both them fools in the same night.
Here he is. Here he is.
He would absolutely smoke both of them in the face the same night.
I like the way that you've just referred to Arlovski, former champion, as a fool. He'd smoke both them fools.
Mate, the pace they fight at is, you need to watch it on fast forward to make it look like a real fight. Tom Aspinall would smoke both of them in the on the same night.
Listen, we're fact. On, listen, you've got us on the Aspinall train. We're here. We're there. We're in the first class section. We bought our tickets and we're drinking champagne. We're with you, all right, as you drive the train. Looking forward to the journey, yep. Mate.
Yes.
Shall we talk about ears? Fucking hell, right? You see some mad shit and mad injuries in the world of mixed martial arts.
Have you seen it in boxing? Same thing happened to Stephen Smith, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Stephen Smith's ear blew up and then it just fucking tore right down the middle.
But
it didn't get removed from the side of his skull like this one, though.
Brahim Ai's story of getting himself to the octagon is mad in itself. He's signed to the UFC 18 months, 2 years ago now. And then when he had his medical, they discovered a tumour in his eye. So therefore, he went and obviously had the operations for that. So he's been out for such a long period of time, not making his UFC debut. He comes and makes his UFC debut against Max Payne Griffin, who I thought was brilliant, by the way. Pieced him up on the feet. He gave him a right shellacking, didn't he? And then...
He gave him a right shellacking to the ball sack.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, he nearly kicked his balls through the back of his ass. If having your ear torn off wasn't bad enough, he now can't have kids either.
Swallowed
it. That was an expensive debut there.
His fucking nuts are in his throat and his ears hanging off his head. Do you have a good night? Yeah, fucking mega.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus Christ.
But you will have seen, obviously, on social media, the picture of the ear. If you've not seen the fight, go and watch the fight. Because it's actually a solid fight. Griffin and Brahim Ai is a solid fight. Griffin's winning it comfortably. He's piecing him up. But when that injury happens, now bear in mind, I've been on the radio, yeah? So I've been on the radio, finished up, and I always like to finish with a nice little glass or something. So we've got a nice little red going, mate. I'm sat in my living room, I thought, I'll put the UFC on, bangs it on, and I've watched the fight, and then this one comes on, Griffin and Brahim Ai. So I'm watching it, I'm thinking, oh, Max Griffin's looking good, yeah, Pete, yeah, excellent stuff. He needs to fucking put his foot down, this lad here now. Fuck it. That's basically where I were at. Very rarely, covering the fights that we cover and the length of time that we've covered fights, I think I've seen a lot of things, and there's not that many things now that turn my stomach. But seeing this kid's ear flopping around in the fucking wind, I was like, it was absolutely fucking disgusting. Oh,
the difference with the Stephen Smith one was, so Stephen Smith gets his ear banged up in a boxing match and it starts swelling up and they're trying to ice it in the corner, if you remember. And then I think it was a head clash. And it was just the final straw. His ear rips, but it kind of ripped down the middle of his ear.
Yeah.
So the ear was still stuck to his skull. He just had a big rip and his ear was literally flopping because it was hanging off. Like as if someone had got a pair of scissors and gone like that. But the difference here with Brahim Ai is that he had a twat of a cauliflower ear anyway. It looked like a trolley ear, didn't it? Just sticking out at a weird angle. And you're looking at it going, man, get that ear drained. You've got this weird cauliflower ear. I don't know what, get it sorted, Jesus Christ. But anyway, goes into the fight, he gets bashed up in the fight, and you could see it getting bigger and redder. Griffin hits him with the right hand, right on it.
Yeah. And pops it.
It literally tears off the side of his head.
But then he follows it with an elbow. He hits it, and then the elbow.
The glancing elbow. But when you're stealing it, the ear, from the bit where the ear is attached to your fucking, the side of your skull, that's the bit that come away. So instead of just being a flopping, like, his entire ear was hanging off his head, like as if you ripped an ear off a teddy bear.
Yeah.
And it was literally hanging by thread, and you can see him and you can see the stuffing. That's what you could see. You could see his fucking skull, man. And it was just, oh, Jesus Christ.
It was horrific.
As far as injuries go, man, that was up there. And the worst thing was, he was up against the fence at one point and he had hold of it and he was pushing it, like trying to stick it back to his own head. And I'm like, man, just stop it. Stop touching it. Stop. And then the best thing was when the referee stopped it, Max Griffin stood away. Max Griffin just goes, oh, bloody hell. Just like Max Griffin's reaction is to go, oh, shit. I'm surprised Max Griffin never threw up. It was, as far as injuries go, man, that was fucking horrific. Just visually horrific. That's something
right.
I never want to see again. Yes, I never want to see the inside of someone's skull again.
I hope he's all right and he gets back to 100%. Here's a little takeaway from the weekend. Obviously, we're all high on Glover and I think that's the main talking point from the weekend. My excitement now, right, and I want to be there when this happens, because Yan Xiaoxian, yeah, puts in a great performance against Claudio Gadea.
Xiaonan.
Yeah, right.
Yan Xiaonan.
Big fan, right? Good performance against... Wicked. Really good performance. But fuck that, not interested in that. What I'm interested in is her and Wiley in China.
Of course.
I need to be there, mate.
Of course.
I need to be at that event. That would be fucking madness, wouldn't it? China versus China for the title? Oh, my days.
Oh, man. Yan Xiaonan was absolutely brilliant. And, she's got a good record going into this fight, but I was like... Big step up against Claudia Gadea, man. Gadea's no joke. She's a top contender. This will be a step too far. But rushing this Chinese girl just to try and make a dream matchup. And then Xiaonan gets in there, man. She's 100% legit. She's now on a 6-fight win streak, which I think is the longest win streak in the strawweight division. She looked absolutely awesome, man. And I'm thinking the same thing. Get these girls to China.
Yeah.
Because that's the first thing I thought, oh, shit. Are they do they train together? Are they part of the same team, part of the same camp? But they're not, man.
Yeah.
They're not. They're rivals. It's going to be absolutely sick. I literally cannot wait because it's got to happen. It's literally got to happen. We've got to see this fight. Can the UFC wait long enough to, when the world's back to some kind of normal? Because it can't happen outside of China.
No.
But it's the only fight to make in the strawweight division. China versus China. Woo! She can fight, man. It's going to be sick. It's going to be awesome.
Can't wait, man. Can't wait.
Do you know what else I took from that fight, that card as well, on the main card? Did you see when Gigi Chikadze?
Yeah.
Who's my boy.
I like him.
Yeah, man. Well, former Glory kickboxer, legit. Yeah. That Jamie Stevens, that Jamie Simmons or whatever the guy's name is that he beat, he's not a UFC caliber fighter. Yeah. He's coming at late notice, so you don't want to get too carried away. But obviously, Gigi, they know all about him. King's MMA, trains with Rafael Cadeiro. He was obviously training Tyson at the moment. Absolutely legit. I think he got come through and got beat on Dana White's Contender Series a while back. And people were like, oh, is he all that? But he does look all that. He looks legit. But what I want to pull up is the most important thing I thought was at the end when he got interviewed by John Anik. And Chikadze goes, well, they asked me if I wanted to take the Arnold Allen fight last week. I said I'd take it. Arnold Allen didn't want it. So maybe I should fight Jeremy Stevens now. And I'm like, whoa. Don't be dropping shit like that. Arnold Allen turned down a fight with you. Nah. I'm not having it. I'm not having that. Because Chikadze is as good as he is in his feet, like most, guys with kickboxing background. He looks for that left body kick, that left high kick all the time. And he's amazing at it. But Arnold Allen, for me, is a better mixed martial artist than him. I can't see Arnold Allen turning down that fight. Now, don't get me wrong. Arnold Allen's fighting Jeremy Stevens. He's a ranked guy. He's a big name. It makes sense that you would. But I can't believe Arnold Allen would waste an entire 10-week camp when Jeremy Stevens pulled out and they go, do you want to fight Chikadze? He's due to fight the week after. We'll bring him forward a week. I'm not having it. Arnold Allen said, no, I'm not having that. I want to speak to Arnold Allen. I'm not having it. He turned that down because Arnold Allen would smoke that fool. He would beat Chikadze. I'm telling you right now. I'm smoking a lot of fools on today's show.
I'm loving it.
I'm not having it, man.
Here.
Arnold Allen beats him.
Yeah, I've got something for you then. Because when they made Chimaev and Leon Edwards, the betting favourite when that fight was announced was Leon Edwards, as you would imagine, with the ranking that he holds in the UFC and where Chimaev is currently at. Not anymore. At the moment, Khamzat Chimaev is the betting favourite for that fight with Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards is the underdog, and it's getting wider. You can get odds of 6-4 on Leon Edwards at the moment. This is now, and we're, still 6 weeks away from this fight. It's only getting wider. People are sticking fucking silly dough on Khamzat Chimaev because of what they've seen on Fight Island. Now, listen, he might be the second coming of Jesus. He might be. But that is ludicrous that Leon Edwards is the betting underdog for that fight, mate. If you want to make yourself a few quid or you fancy a little bit of a flutter, at least a contender on it. At least.
It's crazy, but it just goes, don't get me wrong. The the bookmakers have made them odds based on rankings and experience and everything else and everything that makes sense.
Yeah, but they follow the market. They follow what people are betting.
But that's what I mean. Exactly, but that's what I mean. So everyone's gone big on Chimaev going, I fancy this guy. He's odds against. He looks like a world beater. He's completely untested at this level. But Dana White's telling me he's the best thing since sliced bread. So I'm on him. And I think that's why it's rolled over so quickly. I think by the time the fight starts, it'll be a lot closer. I think by the time the fight starts, certainly in the UK, we will get odds that Leon Edwards is the betting favourite. But I just think because Dana's so high on him, man, Dana says something and everybody swallows it, hook, line and sinker, you know, and I think people have gone, Chimaev's the guy. And they think Leon Edwards has been backed into a corner because he was removed from the rankings and from the outside, because Leon's not addressed it.
Yeah.
It looks like the UFC have gone, we're fucking throwing you out of the rankings unless you fight this guy. Whereas we both know that Leon wanted to fight him to make a statement because he couldn't get a fight to fight for the title. And he's like, you know what? I'm sick of beating in top contenders. You know, I beat Wonderboy. I'm still no closer to a title shot, UFC. And I think Leon needs a statement win now. And whoever silences and stops Chimaev,
yeah,
gets the statement.
Gets the thunder.
So don't kid yourself. Leon Edwards never got backed into a corner. Leon Edwards wanted this fight as well. So I think you're right, man. 6-4. I never knew why. Why did he do 6-4 and not 3-2? I don't know. But anyway, there's value in that. There's fucking value in that, I'm telling you. I fancy Leon.
What do you make of Wonderboy and Jeff Neal fighting each other on the same card? It's on the same card, that. It's on December the 19th.
I think obviously it's a good fight for Jeff Neal. The biggest fight of his, biggest opportunity of his life, basically.
Yeah. I like Jeff Neal. He's a wonderful, wonderful fighter. And we've spent, like I said, we've seen him fight live a couple of times and he's really, really impressed me. But Wonderboy's a different level. I don't know what is in this for Wonderboy. I really don't. What happens if he wins? Where does he go?
Yeah, but that said, you know, you can't just... If you're Wonderboy, he's got to want to stay busy. And at some stage, you can't just keep fighting all the top guys. You've got to fight someone below you in the rankings. Jeff Neal's fringe top 10.
Yeah.
Wonderboy's what? Top five, probably five or six in the rankings.
Yeah, definitely.
And don't forget, it is what it is. In this current climate, it makes absolute sense for the UFC to have support acts for the main event on every card.
Yeah. We might get Leon against Wonderboy.
Well, that's what I mean. Or Khamzat against Wonderboy, because not only have you got the caveat of fighters pulling out, something Leon's done in the past, sometimes, you know, it happens and people miss some weight, but now you've got the other massive fucking thing of guys testing positive, especially when Leon's traveling from the UK, especially when Khamzat's going to have to travel from Sweden, probably base himself in Vegas, but he will travel from Sweden. So it makes sense to have a couple of US guys, welterweights on the undercard, ready to step into that main event. Jeff Neal versus Leon Edwards or Jeff Neal versus Khamzat, main event, the final event of the year, is a hard sell, man. But Wonderboy against either of those guys, that works as a main event.
Yeah, man, absolutely. We're going to have to touch upon Bellator because he had an event this week where Corey Anderson went over, didn't he, to Bellator from the UFC. And do you know something, mate? I've got so much on social media this week from Bellator lovers. There's a lot of Bellator lovers, especially in America. We get tons on social media, honestly. One day I'm just going to reveal all the messages that I get privately, personally, whatever it may be. But loads of people were jumping on the Corey Anderson thing with him beating Manoef this week. And saying, here he is, the main man in Bellator, the new light heavy champion and all this. Going crazy for it. And I was going... I expect nothing less. I expected nothing less for Corey Anderson to do that. And I expect him to be the Bellator champion. Why? Because it's second, third tier mixed martial arts. That's just fact. This is a guy that was struggling to break into that top five in the UFC. He was there or thereabouts. He was on the cusp, wasn't he? He'd win one, lose one against the very, very top fellas. Stepping down in competition, I fully expect him to be a killer. I fully expect him to go and be the main man. And then I ended up getting into a debate with somebody about how many people in Bellator could become a UFC world champion. I said none of them. Absolutely none of them. because all the guys that I rate in Bellator right now are guys that didn't make it in the UFC. Gegard Mousasi was on the cusp in the middleweight division, wasn't he? He was on the cusp, and for whatever reason, he wasn't getting his shot. He decided to up sticks, clear off, get himself some more dough and better opportunities with Bellator. That's why he's there. The UFC wanted him. Corey Anderson, he personally made that decision to clear off as well. It's not like he got booted out. He's still a top fighter in the UFC, but he was... Would he have become a UFC champion? Probably not. So all the guys that I rate in Bellator are those types of guys. The kids that are coming through Bellator, I look at them and I go, there's better talent in Cage Warriors that will probably go on to make a bigger impact in the UFC than there is here right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think the best fighter in Bellator who could certainly hang in the UFC is probably Pitbull Fieri, who fights this weekend. I actually fights Carvalho in the featherweight grand. I don't know. I can't even keep up with Bellator. I think Pitbull is the lightweight and the featherweight Bellator champion last time I looked. And this weekend he fights Carvalho in the final of the Bellator featherweight tournament, of which he's already champion. I don't know. It's fucking. It's hard to keep across Bellator because the tournaments are convoluted. The champions are mixed in there, and then you don't know where to watch it on TV either, whether it's on BBC or fucking Sky or whatever. But whatever. Yeah, you're right, man. Absolutely, Melvin Manoff would not survive against fucking 80% of the UFC light heavyweight roster. So he's about 50 years of age. He's been around the block more times than fucking, you know, some old slapper. And Corey Anderson should be getting him out of there inside the distance. So to be honest, I didn't even watch the fight. I had no interest in watching it whatsoever. It's not competitive MMA for me. This weekend, Pitbull versus Carvalho. I'm gonna find that fight. I like that fight. And I like Daniel Weichel, who's on the undercard that night as well. And oh shit, fucking Adam Pico is on that card as well. It could be something, but yeah. He's had a weird run in MMA. But yeah, man. To answer your question, the only guy from Bellator, now Chandler. I would have said Chandler, but now I will say that. The only other guy is, for me, is Pitbull. Pitbull Fier could hang in the UFC at the top. Other than that, I'm with you, man. Second-rate MMA.
Speaking of... I tell you what, we'll talk disappointments. And then we'll talk about something super exciting for this weekend with the UFC card this weekend. Because we've just heard the news that Islam Makhachev is out of the fight with Rafael Dos Anjos. I'm gutted.
Devastated.
Absolutely gutted. Especially off the back of everything that we've been speaking about with the lightweight division recently. Makhachev, for me, he's the guy that could be the one that puts a little bit of a run together, that could be the guy that everybody's not really looking at right now, because you've got Poirier, you've got Ferguson, you've got Conor McGregor, you've got Chandler, you've got these guys, and Gaethje, of course. You've got those guys that everybody's talking about. Makhachev could be the guy that just sneaks in round the back door, slays a couple of legends, and then all of a sudden he's fighting for the title and he becomes the guy. So I'm disappointed that he's out of the fight. Undisclosed reasons as to why he's pulled out. Of course, we know that he got ill in the build-up to Fight Island, because he was supposed to be on that Habib card. He ended up falling off that fight. He was rewarded with the Rafael Dos Anjos fight at short notice. That not going ahead this weekend, it's a weird one, man. It's a weird one because especially with him being ill, it was a staph infection, wasn't it? Something that he got in pulling out of Fight Island. Him now pulling out of this fight, I don't know where that would sit with the UFC and their attitude. I don't know, mate. But from a fan's point of view, it's incredibly disappointing that this fight with Rafael Dos Anjos is not happening this weekend.
Yeah, and you'd like to think he's already in the US by now with a week to go. In fact, he must be, because getting to the US right now is really difficult. You can't fly directly from the UK. I don't know whether you can from Russia, but I'd be surprised if you can. You know, there's certain areas, because I know the Raptors at the moment are in quarantine in fucking Bermuda. Dan's Raptors, they've got to spend 2 weeks in Bermuda. Sad life, innit?
Yeah.
Just to get into the US to be able to cover fights inside the bubble. So I'm guessing Makhachev is already in the US. Listen, I don't know what his injury is or his illness is, so it's hard really to judge. But like we talked a lot on BT this week, and they've been doing the rounds on BT, this lightweight tournament fantasy that I've got that we're all in on. For me, Makhachev's out of the equation now.
Yeah.
this was his opportunity this weekend to stake a claim and go, I deserve to be in some kind of eliminator fight moving forward for the vacant lightweight belt. I'm Khabib's successor. I've just done a number on RDA, the former champ. Mm-hmm. I've got to be in the mix now, whoever it may be. I think it's a massively missed opportunity for him. And for me, goes to the back of the list now. And this weekend now is an opportunity for someone like, who am I going to say?
At lightweight. Do you think they're going to make a fight? They'll put someone in with Rafael, yeah?
I think so. And we were sitting with him in Fight Island. He absolutely blew us away. He hasn't had a fight in the UFC yet, but he needs a ranking.
You want Chandler in?
If Chandler steps in, it is just him slapping his wedding tackle on the table and going, boys, I'm here. Bang me in this main event against the former champion.
Nice.
Let me do me shit and let me show you what I bring to this lightweight division. It's a massive opportunity for Michael Chandler. Now, I follow Chandler all over social media. I know he did say, listen, after Fight Island, I want a break. Nah, man, fuck that. Opportunity knocks, son. I know you're in shape. I follow you on social media. You're a gym rat. Chandler's a gym rat. Even if they have to make it at a catch weight, 160 or something like that, RDA is going to take it. RDA is a former welterweight anyway. This is our Chandler's opportunity now to jump out and go, boom. Check my love spuds out. Throw me in a fight. I've beat RDA. I'm the guy. I'm in the mix because whoever steps in and beats RDA or fights RDA gets a win over him. That person, and I'm telling you now, I'll make this public. If a lightweight steps in and beats RDA this weekend, they are officially in my 8-man tournament, Steven.
Your hypothetical fantasy tournament, they're in it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed...
If Chandler doesn't jump in, then Chandler runs the risks of not getting in my 8-man tournament. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, listen, I saw already on social media, I know the time difference is weird, right? So the guys in the States haven't woke up yet. You might not know the news about Islam Makhachev, Michael Chandler. So hopefully over the next 24 hours, we get to see him on social media going, come on then, I'm ready to rock and roll. Because you're right, that's the fight. That's a great fight. Chandler, RDA, let's go, baby. Chandler's big UFC debut. But what I have seen is the Cage Warriors champ, Mason Jones. I've seen him.
Yeah.
I've seen him chirp up going, I'll fucking do it. Get me up. Listen, I don't know where he is right now, whether he's based in America, but I think he's at home here in the UK and Wales. So it might be a bit of a push to get him across the line for the fight in Las Vegas. But I like the bollocks on it, man. He sat there with his fucking belts, giving it one of these. Yeah, come on then. I'm ready to rock and roll. If you can make the fight happen, it might be a bit of a push, but I'll go and fight Rafael Dos Anjos. Woof! Welcome to the UFC, son. That's what you do. Stay ready.
Of course. That's exactly what you do. And good on him because, he's never, ever going to get that fight. But we're talking about it, man. People are talking about it. As long as you're making the noise, you're going to get opportunities. And the problem with RDA is because RDA is actually ranked at welterweight and not lightweight, it's hard to see a lightweight in the top 10 jumping at this opportunity because on paper, it doesn't move you forward. It doesn't exactly. That's the whole point. It doesn't matter that RDA is not ranked. It matters that you're going to main event in the UFC at the Apex this weekend against a former champion. If you do a number on him, your name is going to be thrown into the mix with the vacant lightweight belt. Of course it is.
I'm with you, man.
I think they should all be clambering over themselves to get it, man. But Chandler's the one. If Chandler wakes up today and goes,
Connor,
boom,
what about Connor?
Get me there.
What about Connor? The fight that never happened. Go on, Connor. Go and do it.
Yeah, but again, it's never going to happen.
No, but you're right. Chandler, you're bang on. You're absolutely bang on. Do it.
Do you know what, though? This is the only lightweight fight matched at the moment.
Yeah.
In the lightweight division, in the top of the lightweight division, I'm talking about the top 10s, whatever. Mm. These are the only two guys, or they were. Makhachev and RDA were the only two guys matched up. Mm. Everybody else has not got a fight booked. Poirier and Connor's got one penciled in, but it's not booked. It's not confirmed.
Yeah.
Nobody else has got a fight confirmed. So this fight is open to everybody in the lightweight division. Someone can fucking be a don by stepping in and fighting RDA this weekend. Someone can be an absolute don. And I just hope it's Michael Chandler.
I've heard that Chimaev's cutting weight. I heard that he's going down.
He would if he could.
Yeah, 100% he would. Listen, we've got a bit of British interest this weekend. I'm going to go to Rhys McKee first because, again, kind of a nice way to segue that in, isn't it? From Chimaev He was the geezer that got absolutely poleaxed on Fight Island. This is a little bit more of an even keel. He's got a bit more preparation time and an opportunity now for him to get his UFC career up and running. He's being rewarded for the attitude that he's shown to be in that lamb to the slaughter against Khamzat Chimaev. But he's in action this weekend. And I wish him all the best, because that's not the first fight is not a fair representation of what Rhys McKee can do when it comes to mixed martial arts. And hopefully this weekend he gets an opportunity to be himself and show what he's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you know, he came in and he took an opportunity because it was offered to him. It was the worst phone call you can possibly get for anybody that's desperate to get into the UFC. But he's in the UFC now. He's here now. And Alex Morono is a completely different type of opponent for Rhys McKee. You know, he's got a full camp behind him now as well. This is Rhys's opportunity to just put that behind him firmly and move forward. Don't get me wrong, Alex Morono is no joker either. But this is the UFC, man. There is nobody's a joke. They're all tough fights, you know. So it is Rhys. It's a massive opportunity now for Rhys to get back in there and just let the world know that he belongs here. Because at the moment, the performance against Chimaev, and in time, I think that will play out to be typical of many Chimaev opponents as it has so far. But I just think Rhys gets the opportunity to say, listen, man, that guy's a freak. I'm here at the full camp. This is what I can actually do.
Yeah. Do you know what fight I'm looking forward to the most? I was looking forward to the main event. Of course I was. I got Makachev against RDA. But if they put Chandler in there, that will top trump it. I'll be there. I'll be in on the Chandler bandwagon. It's the battle of the 21-year-olds, man. This is what it's all about. We've just had a weekend of 41-year-old fellas doing the business and rolling back the years and what have you. We have now got two young girls, 21 years of age apiece, one from Great Britain, of course, in Corey, and we've all, one going up against the girl from America. This is what it's all about, man. This is what it's all about. Two young'uns, let's just have it. UFC debut for Corey McKenna. We saw what she did on Dana White's Contender Series. She shot to fame. Everybody's hyped on her. I'm led to believe that she stayed in America, which I love.
She's training that Team Alpha Male.
I love that. Love the fact that she's just gone, I'm going to use the pandemic to my advantage. I'm staying over here. I'm not going home. I'm going to stay ready. I'm going to stay on American soil. When the shout comes, I'm going to be ready to rock and roll. And what an opportunity she has this weekend in this fight against Kay Hansen. Is that right? Yeah, she's fighting Kay.
Kay Hansen, yeah. Yeah.
Mate, come on.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? It's absolutely awesome. And, you know, again, it's just, we talked about some, on our boxing show, we talked about some mismatches in women's boxing and the issues women's boxing's got in invalidating itself. These girls are starting out in their UFC career. They're both like a handful of fights into their MMA tenure. The sport is very similar. There is no strength in depth. So opportunities in the UFC come a lot quicker for the girls than they do for the men. But they're fighting on an even keel to the men. Kay Hansen and Corey McKenna are evenly matched. They're at similar stages in their career. They're both, as you say, both babies. I think it's a brilliant fight. It's a great opportunity for Corey, who's got like, isn't she the Hobbit? Remington Cage Warriors. I'm sure her nickname is The Hobbit, which is fucking awesome nickname. I don't know whether I'm going to have a look at the weekend. Keep an eye. I don't know. She's lovely, Corey McKenna.
Yeah.
Super pretty, deadly, great fighter. But I haven't noticed before, but I will be looking this weekend just to see if she's got big hairy feet.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why she's called The Hobbit. I'm not sure, but she's all round. I love the fact she's an alpha male. Because obviously alpha male guys are superb grapplers.
Well, that's it.
Very much, you know, guillotine, submission experts. Kay Hansen is from Eddie Bravo's 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu as well. So she's a little bit of a Jiu-Jitsu whiz as well. I'm like you, this could steal the show. It's going to be fun.
I think it's going to be, you've just nailed it, mate. It's grappler heavy. It's a grappler heavy fight, this. But we've seen it previously, haven't we, where you've got two legit grapplers that respect each other's grappling game so much that they just go on. They'll
box each other.
Yeah. We'll just try and twat each other. Which,
exactly.
It could be amazing, this fight. And I'm delighted that a 21-year-old Brit is getting this opportunity. Again, in a brilliantly evenly matched fight on a big card like this in Las Vegas. We're right behind you, Corey. Go on, do the business, kid. And fingers crossed you can get your hand raised. Corey McKenna. Remember the name and keep an eye out for her this weekend. Keep an eye on our social media throughout the course of the week as well, because we will try our best to keep you up to date with what's going on with the main event and whether the UFC bigwigs are listening to us and they're trying to get Michael Chandler in that main event against...
Come on, Michael!
Rafael Dos Anjos. Should be good, man. Listen, we've got some good weekends coming up. Obviously, this weekend we've just been speaking about, but the weekend after, mate, it's all about 255. There's another title on there with the guy that I've absolutely fallen for in Figueiredo. I'm a little bit disappointed that it's not Cody Garbrandt. I'll be honest with you. I would have loved that. But Perez is no joke. That should be an absolute cracker. And your bird's in, isn't she?
My girl. Talking about my girl. My girl. She's back, baby. Mm. She's back. Again, a little bit disappointed. It's Jennifer Meyer. I think there's better opponents out there for Valentina, but... it's just an opportunity for Valentina to remind us all that she is the girl. I can't wait to get stuck into that next week. And more Brits in action as well.
Yeah.
We've got the rematch. It's finally happening.
That's the fight of the night.
Beardew is back, baby.
That's the fight of the night.
Beardew and Shogun is back on for November 21st. As you say, we'll get stuck into that next week. And I'll find out this week whether Till's travelling over to corner Mike Perry. He's not fighting now. The opportunity's there.
Listen.
I don't know, man.
Till's
don't be surprised if Mike Perry is in Raw Dog t-shirt this week.
Listen, Till's not going anywhere. He has responsibilities to clear out all that stock in our brewery, mate. That's what he's got responsibilities for. Let him crack on with that. Thank you very much for listening to us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Loads of content up for you across all our platforms this week. We will make some YouTube videos. We'll probably speak about the light heavyweight division, no doubt, and various other bits as well. So make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube, subscribe to us on iTunes as well for the podcast on a week-by-week basis. And if you need an Android feed, fightdisciples.com is where you should be going for basically everything that we do. Has the second Stipe Miocic glove been captured yet? Or is it just the one? Nobody's informed us of the second one, have they?
I honestly don't know whether it's still... That's a good question, actually. No one's told us they've received a second glove, so it may well still be sitting in the brewery warehouse waiting for someone to order a 24-pack of proper tackle. It could well still be out there somewhere beneath us, so good point, man.
Listen, while we're in lockdown, you might as well stock up. You ain't going anywhere. You can't go to the boozer, can you? They're shut for 3 weeks. Get your proper tackle in there. Fightdisciples.com is the website. Go there, give it a little bit of a tick and get yourself 24 cans.
We might do a special as well in the build-up to Christmas. Beer, T-shirt, hoodie, combo type thing.
Will I get
we'll
one?
Work that out.
Yeah, will I get
we'll
one?
We'll get it sorted. Hmm? No. What do you need one for?
Fucking disgusting.
Hey, what do you need one for?
Because I'm supposed to... The salesman, right, is supposed to know what products he's fucking selling, mate. Right?
All you need to know is that it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice cold.
Fucking hell. Did you have a few this weekend, did you?
I did have a couple, yeah.
And on that note, we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.